Speaking on this program is Brother Winford Claiborne.
Thank you and good morning. Is there anyone in my audience today who doubts the necessity of faith in God, in His Son, and in His Word? If you have any doubts, or have ever had any, please listen carefully to the following New Testament passages. He came to His own, but His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them who believe on His name. John 1:11-12. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes on Him is not condemned, but he who believes not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. John 3:14-18. I said therefore unto you, you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am He, you shall die in your sins. John 8:24. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in Me. John 14:1. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them who diligently seek Him. Hebrews 11:6. These scriptures and hundreds of others clearly emphasize the absolute necessity of faith in our service to God Almighty. Paul writes very simply, but very forcefully, of a Christian's need to trust in God. For we walk by faith, and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5:7. How could it really be otherwise? We have never seen God, or Jesus Christ, or the Holy Spirit, or heaven. We must have faith based on good, solid evidence in order to have a foundation for our Christian lives. The Scriptures provide that evidence for our faith. I urge you, if you are not a Christian, to examine the evidence and to become a New Testament Christian. My friends, I have a question for you based on the scriptural passages I have read. Do these biblical verses from John and from Hebrews require obedience? If they do, then salvation is not by faith alone, as John Calvin and Martin Luther taught. Besides, James strongly opposes the doctrine of faith alone. Even so, faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. James 2:17. James writes at length about the faith of Abraham. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Do you see how faith wrought with his works, and by his works was his faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. James 2:21-24. If faith does not require obedience, we have some really serious problems with the consistency and the truthfulness of the Scriptures. Let me show you why. Did you know that Paul uses the expression obedience of faith 2 times in the Roman letter? A letter, incidentally, which is supposed to teach salvation by faith alone. Will you please listen carefully to these 2 verses from Romans? Paul writes of Christ being marked out to be the Son of God by His resurrection from the dead. Then he adds, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for the obedience to the faith among all nations for His name. Romans 1:5. In the last chapter of Romans, Paul writes of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Romans 16:25-26. The King James Version renders the Greek differently in the two passages from Romans, but the Greek phrase is the same in both cases. It should be rendered obedience of faith, as it is in the New American Standard Bible and in other modern versions. The New International Version correctly translates the Greek in Romans 1:5, to the obedience that comes from faith. Romans 16:26 is paraphrased as follows, that all nations might believe and obey him. Does the expression obedience of faith mean one who believes must obey? Can you glean from this verse that faith requires obedience? I have probably 25 to 30 commentaries on the book of Romans. Most of them interpret the expression obedience of faith in about the same way. I shall read the comments on Romans 1:5 from two distinguished Bible scholars. The first excerpt is from R.L. Whiteside, a former president of Abilene Christian University. Obedience of faith is the obedience to which faith leads, and which perfects faith. Paul had been made an apostle for the obedience of faith among all nations, an agent of God to bring men to an obedient faith. John Murray's commentary on the Epistle to the Romans makes these appropriate comments. Obedience of faith could mean obedience to faith. If faith were understood in the objective sense of the object or content of faith, the truth believed, this would provide an admirably suitable interpretation and would be equivalent to saying obedience to the gospel. But it is difficult to suppose that faith is used here in the sense of the gospel. It is rather the subjective act of faith in response to the gospel. And though it is not impossible to think of obedience to faith as the commitment of oneself to what is involved in the act of faith, yet it is much more intelligible and suitable to take faith as an apposition to obedience and understand it as the obedience which consists in faith. Faith is regarded as an act of obedience, of commitment to the gospel of Jesus Christ. For the faith which the apostleship was intended to promote was not an evanescent act of emotion, but the commitment of wholehearted devotion to Christ and to the truth of the gospel. Pages 13 and 14. Both Whiteside and Murray teach, in effect, that obedience to God springs from faith. It is an act of complete surrender to the will of Almighty God. Does that sound like faith alone? Every time words like obey, do, work, and follow appear in the New Testament, they signify what God expects of His children in living for Him every day. Jesus established the pattern for God's children when He said, I must work the works of Him who sent me while it is day, for the night comes when no man can work. John 9:4. The apostles were diligent in urging Christians to imitate their Lord in doing the work of God Almighty. Paul wrote as follows to the Roman Christians, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he who teaches on teaching, or he who exhorts on exhortation. He who gives, let him do it with simplicity. He who rules with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Romans 12:6-8. Can Christians have God's approval if they fail to use their time and talents to serve God by serving their fellow men? The Apostle Paul also wrote, this is a faithful saying, and these things I will that you affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. these things are good and profitable to men. Titus 3:8. There are many other passages which teach the same truth. But I want to concentrate today on one great chapter in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 11. This is without question the greatest chapter in the Bible on what faith does. Hebrews 11 begins, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." Hebrews 11, 1-3. Beginning with verse 4, there is a long list of men and women who live by faith in God and in His precious promises. If we can determine from this chapter how these men and women lived, and my friends, we can do that, we can show what kind of faith saves. Were Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, and Moses saved by faith only? Were they required to obey whatever commands God gave to them? Let us turn to the inspired record to find the answers to our questions. I urge you to pay special attention to the verbs in every one of the examples I am going to review with you today. Verbs, as you probably remember from your high school days, are action words. In Hebrews 11, the verbs tell us what men and women of faith did and had to do to please God. For example, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaks." Hebrews 11, 4. Did you notice what Abel did? He offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Offered is the verb telling us what Abel's faith did in obedience to God's commands. Would Abel have been listed in the heroes of faith if he had not offered the sacrifice which God commanded? Would faith alone have saved Abel? The Hebrew writer adds, "By it," that is, by Abel's faith, "he being dead yet speaks." What message does Abel have for our generation? He tells us every time we read his life that faith must be an obedient faith, or it is faith alone, and faith alone cannot have God's approval. The Bible does not tell us much about Enoch, but what information we do have is very valuable. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11, 5 and 6. The Hebrew writer does not inform us concerning the nature of Enoch's obedience, but the Old Testament book of Genesis does. Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Genesis 5:24. How can one walk with God unless he abides by the Lord's commands and instructions? Do you get the impression, either from Genesis 5 or from Hebrews 11, that Enoch's faith was of the faith-only variety? Could Enoch have been saved by faith alone? When the patriarch Noah appeared on the scene, the world had become unspeakably evil. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was evil continually. Genesis 6, 5. It grieved God that he had made man, and determined to destroy him from the very face of the earth. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Genesis 6, 6-8. The key to our understanding Noah's faith is given in these words, "Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Genesis 6:22. The Hebrew writer made these comments on Noah's faith. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Hebrews 11:7. The Hebrew writer does not give a technical definition of faith, either in verse 1 or in verse 7. But I ask you to meditate upon this brief statement, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Is that not what faith entails? God told Noah what was going to happen, and Noah believed what God said. There had never before been a flood. But when God informed Noah of an impending flood, Noah believed him. But Noah went beyond mere intellectual assent to what God had told him. He moved with fear. The verb translated move with fear means to take hold well or carefully. The word involves acting from godly fear. Noah's faith motivated him to do exactly what God commanded, and in exactly the way he commanded it. Is that faith only? Noah's godly fear motivated him to prepare an ark to the saving of his house. I shall not take the time today to review the plans God gave Noah for the building of the ark. Is there anyone in my audience today who doubts the great amount of work in the building of the ark? Did Noah's faith lead him to work in the building of the ark? If he had claimed to have faith, and yet refused to build the ark according to God's specifications, do you honestly believe he would be listed in faith's hall of fame? Would faith only have met the requirements God set for Noah's faith? Noah's faith took God at his word and built according to the pattern. Will God accept any less from us? No name in all of God's book makes us think of faith and faithfulness any more than the name of Abraham. His faith appears prominently in Romans, in Hebrews, and in James. I shall dwell in our lesson today on what the Hebrew writer said about Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Hebrews 11:8-10. The main clause of verse 8 is, by faith Abraham obeyed. Do you get the impression from this clause that faith requires obedience? Would Abraham's name be recorded among the heroes of the faith if his faith had been of the faith-only kind? What if Abraham had said to God, I believe in you. I want to be your child. But leaving my home and my family and going into a country I do not know does not make sense. After all, I have a good life here in the Ur of the Chaldees. Why should I go just because you have made some kind of promise to me? If Abraham had responded in such a manner, he could not have pleased God, nor would he be remembered as the father of the faithful, nor would he have been called the friend of God. James 2:23. Was Abraham saved and justified by faith alone? My friends, you know he was not. His faith in God led him to say, whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, I am ready to obey your will. If that is what Calvinists mean by faith only, then Abraham was saved by faith only, and so are we. Let me repeat what James wrote about Abraham. The scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed or count it unto him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. James 2, 23 and 24. Does James really mean not by faith only? But leaving Ur of the Chaldees because God had told him to did not require the faith, at least from my viewpoint, that offering his son on an altar did. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall your seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Hebrews 11, 17 through 19. Can you even imagine the faith of a man who would go to such an extreme to please God? God had promised to bless the world through Isaac. But then he asked Abraham to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. Have you ever wondered how Abraham must have grieved as he walked up the mountain to offer his son to God as a burnt offering? There were many excuses he could have offered for not complying with God's command. But if the excuses ever came into his mind, they are not mentioned. He simply took God at his word and made preparations to offer his son. Incidentally, the text does not say Abraham was planning on offering his son, or he was about to offer him. It says, Abraham offered up Isaac. The tense of the verb is perfect active indicative, and indicates the deed was as good as done. Had not God interrupted, Isaac would have died on that altar on that mountain. What absolutely incredible faith! Do you call such faith faith only? I have time for one more example of faith from Hebrews 11. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured, as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned. Hebrews 11, 24 through 29. If you listen carefully to the reading of this text, I do not need to point out the many action words which are used regarding the faith of Moses. How could anyone read these inspired words and conclude that Moses was saved by faith only? If he had not chosen to suffer affliction with the people of God, and if he had not forsaken Egypt, if he had not kept the Passover, would his faith alone have been adequate? Or would he have had faith at all? There are many other great examples of faith in the Bible. But let us think for just a few minutes about our faith and what it requires of us. If you have faith in God, in His Son, and in His Word, what will that faith lead you to do? Will you please turn to Acts 18 and study the conversion of the Corinthians with me? Paul visited the Jewish synagogue at Corinth on several occasions and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timothy were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Acts 18, 4 and 5. I do not know what Paul said about Christ, but he said enough to convince some of the Corinthians that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. What was the response of those who believed the gospel message which Paul preached? And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed, and were baptized. Acts 18:8. Did you notice what the Corinthians did when they believed the gospel Paul preached? They were baptized into Christ. Does faith in God require baptism? In other words, is baptism essential to salvation? Salvation and remission of sins are not mentioned in the text from Acts 18. But let us take note of other passages. On the day of Pentecost, Peter commanded the Jews, "Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all them who are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Acts 2:38 and 39. As you can readily understand, repentance and baptism are designed to achieve the same goal, the remission of sins. They are both essential. If the language of Scripture means what it says, to our being saved from our past sins and added to the church of the living God. When Saul of Tarsus met the Lord Jesus Christ on the way to Damascus, Christ told Saul to go into the city of Damascus where it would be told him what he had to do to be saved. God sent Ananias, a faithful gospel preacher, who said to Saul, "And now, brother Saul, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Acts 22:16. Was Saul saved by his faith and obedience, or by faith alone? The answer to that question can be found in these words, "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." Galatians 3:26-27. My friends, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, you have taken a very necessary step to becoming a New Testament Christian. But faith alone does not save anyone. You must exercise that faith in God by repenting of your sins. Paul told the Athenian philosophers, "The times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent." Acts 17:30. Faith also requires you to confess the name of Christ before men, so that he will confess you before the Father in heaven. Matthew 10:32-33. Upon the confession of your faith in Christ, you must be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe shall be condemned. Mark 16:15-16. Then, dear friends, you must devote your life in service to God and to your fellow men. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of the faith. Galatians 6:10. May God help us not to have a dead faith, but an active, obedient faith. Thank you for listening, and may God richly bless you.